Okay, so we're ready now to try our end of the conference wrap up. And what I'd like everyone to do is to stand up, and we'll try to find a way to kind of be as much a circle as we can be in this room. I don't know how this is going to work. So get up. We'll be in a circle.
Snail.
Oh, where's my pen?
Oh, you found your pen. No, I didn't find it. No. Okay. Okay. So the way this is going to work, I have... Yeah, no one wants to stand next to me. You don't know who... You know what? You can stand next to me because I'm going to pick someone at random and hand it to them. Okay, so this will solve this problem. Okay, all right. Oh, thank you. All right, so I have this timer. It does everything. I don't know what this crazy device is. But anyway, so the timer will go off. When the timer goes off, we're not gonna come and step on you or anything. Just wrap up and then pass it to, I guess, the right. We'll pass it to the right. Okay? All right, so here I am starting. So I have been amazed to see everybody's results. And just kind of looking at it overall, I'd say that the observations are going full steam. You know, thank you, Gaia and Lemost and Apogee and everybody else. You know, we see phase-based spiral, new streams being followed up, the galactic bar, oh my God, two-thirds of the disk, can't believe it. Disk-moving groups, the Gaia Enceladus, sausage, sequoia, whatever you want to call it, all these different things. Simulations, they're starting to look like the universe, unbelievable. You're starting to have simulations where you're going to predict what actually happens in how galaxies form. That's just fantastic. I was kind of struck by how hard it was to try to physically understand what's going on, however. I mean, we're kind of like still not agreeing on how spiral structural forms, how long disks live, you know, kind of nothing about it. But okay, so the having stop. This is going to be easier for the next person. All right, how do I do this? How does it stop? Okay, dismiss. I hit that. All right. But the thing that surprised me is that we're really getting no closer to finding dark matter with any of this. You know, the galactoseismology, no one was touching that. Gaps in streams, you know, people who had the theory for that, they're leaving that behind. We don't have anybody trying to measure the dark matter halo shape from tidal streams. But it seems like we kind of moved backwards on that one. All right, here we go.
Wow, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can add much to that. But I guess the things that really stand out in my mind are these this amazing data that we have of the Gaia Enceladus merger. Also, I have to say, I was the Milky Way at home discoveries of the perpendicular stream. That really impressed me. The simulations that I'm seeing, you know, that Andrew talked about, and the rendering to make it truly as much observable as we would with by Robin. I'm also really impressed by that. Yeah, I guess, and you know, and really all the simulations, I think, but I also I do echo a little bit what Larry said and what Heidi was saying. You know, maybe if we can deconstruct these a little bit, you know, maybe in terms of building a repository of simulations that's sort of double blind, maybe that's one way. Maybe that's one way forward.
Yeah, so it's been a great meeting. I've learned a lot. I would just like to remind people that all fields of physical sciences, especially, and sciences in general, degenerate into incredible complexity. Yet, a lot of these fields do find profound things by sifting through vast amounts of data, like particle physics, looking for Higgs bosons amongst petabytes of data. So my feeling is that we just keep going and keep sifting through all these amazing manifestations of nature, because we will learn new physics and new science from it.
I'm going to say two things, one of, about each of my companions on either side. Joss and his title, The Galaxy in Crisis, I made this point before, but this wonderful treasure trove from DR2, we're picking off the low-hanging fruit, we're looking, we're all scratching our heads and amused by it, but we'll figure it out eventually, but it's us who are having the problem, not the galaxy. And the other, a third thing. Those of you who are interested in trying to understand the data, ignore actions at your peril. They are worth looking into. And finally, the most vivid illustration or entertaining illustration that we had was from Ray this morning, when he showed us his Jackson Pollock creation as it evolved in time of the formation of those streams. And I thought that was not only entertaining, but also very informative.
Okay, the value of sort of waving your stellar arms, I guess, in that remark. So I don't have anything very profound to say. I thought it was great to understand better what most of what you guys are up to. I sort of half understood it, and now I sort of 80 or 90% understood it. So I'm grateful for that. This is a fantastic field, and my impression is there's a bit of caution is coming into people. People are not flinging themselves so wildly into strong claims.
Okay, I really didn't prepare anything. I wrote a paper in 2016, discovered a stellar overdensity called Eridanus Phoenix overdensity. And that time I saw that structure and Virgo overdensity and Hercules Aquila cloud are on the same plane. So I said, oh, this must be from, this likely to be from a dwarf galaxy merged and totally disrupted. And thanks, I heard today's talk from Vasily and seems my guess was correct, at least. What else I want to say? But at that time, I thought I draw a circle, so I think it's an onion ring, but now it become a sausage. I don't know. And what else? Oh, yeah, my next goal is to find a restaurant that has a size of meatball as big as a length of a sausage, and then I'll invite Vasily for dinner.
I think the conference was really interesting, and it was great to hear about parts of the Milky Way that I don't know as much about and don't hear about that often. And I also feel like I learned about a lot of different things that could be causing the proper motion offsets that I've been seeing and the differences in the size of the offsets between streams. So I think I have things to think about when I get back to work.
Let me just start by saying that I have a newly found appreciation for Occam's razor. Thank you everyone here for teaching me so many interesting things about galactic dynamics. I believe theory is essential alongside observations and analysis. So for that reason, I contacted my mother back home to send me the Landau series back in the UK. Just in particular, I think I want to learn more about the kinetic theory of stellar systems. And because good stories need to be told often, to quote Prof. Bini, I also want to have a look at the Julian and Tomre paper. And yes, let's worry about distance estimates and selection function. Thank you.
So I'm so happy that for very, very beautiful and amazing talks, and I'm very jealous of it, actually. And I want to add something for my work that M subdwarf as the oldest stars in the galactic halo need more support and attention and to observe high resolution spectra. The accurate measurement of these stars can play important role in a galactic chemical evolution. Thank you.
Sorry, Vasily, I don't have a joke to tell. I'm a graduate student in Johns Hopkins, and I'm working on white dwarfs now in Gaia DR2, but I'm very interested in this field, and I'm very glad I can learn a lot here, and also maybe I'm considering the next project about Milky Way. And thank you very much.
Hi. I feel that I might be blacklisted because I did not do the grad student legwork of handing mics, so I feel I'm really sorry for that. Next time, promise, yeah, if there is a next time. No, so I'm a particle physicist by training, but I see that, you know, there's a lot of new data coming in astrophysics, so this is a very exciting field. And when I came here, I was really confused about what are these spirals, snails, ridges, da-da-da. But I think Larry Widrow showed one slide with the elephant and how these are different projections of the distribution function. And even if that might be an approximation or that assumes a distribution function that exists only in some like crazy model space, I think that's a good heuristic to start thinking about these things from a dynamical perspective. So as a theorist, this is what really appealed to me. So thank you, Larry, for the perspective. And also, yeah, the community, the astro community. I've only read your papers and seen you guys on Twitter, so it was very nice to meet to meet all of you. And hopefully, you know, we'll run into each other again. And thank you.
So hi, let's say a huge thank you to Heidi, Sukanya, Joe, and James. I think you put together a really, really impressive program. I enjoyed every single one of the talks, and I learned a lot. And so I'd like to say a big thank you to all of those who spoke as well, particularly for taking the time to make the talks accessible and clear. I've come away with far more ideas than I know what to do with. If I had to pick one thing, which isn't fair because it was all really, really good, because I'm biased and overly interested in dark matter, I'm really pleased to see how this whole dynamical stream bump business is coming on, and the beautiful forensics that Anna Bonazza, who unfortunately is not here with us now, showed us the ability to actually trace back the origin of an interaction, even just based on detailed photometric information from GD1, is quite remarkable. And I'm very hopeful we'll find many more streams like this throughout the galaxy and in other galaxies, and maybe one day we really will get to find out how cold dark matter is after all.
Well, yeah, just want to say again that this was an amazing meeting. Of course, Gaia is amazing, but I think more impressive is that less than a year after DR2, we have, you know, a week full of, chock full of new results, new modeling, and it's just been really thrilling to be here and see, especially what all the young people are doing with this data and the models that are coming out of it. So I didn't want to pick any one thing that was exciting, but I really love the snail. It moves it's a very fast moving snail. And the other, the interesting things on the halo substructure and is really impressive.
Okay, so I'm very thankful for being here, in particular for being here and being able to hear everything that's going on in a field that I'm kind of sideways trying to follow, but not completely in. So thank you very much for having me. And I've learned a lot, but I'm also confused by all the different disequilibria that are going on and all the different interactions that are going on. And I hope very much that you all will help me trying to figure out what is the bigger picture in this. And I'd love to work more on how to connect this to general galaxy evolution and what we can learn from this about galaxies in general and from other galaxies about the Milky Way.
Okay, so yeah, what I've seen here, amazing. It seems like we spent a year doing a sort of data-driven analysis of Gaia. But I'm interested now at this point, especially seeing what I've done what we've seen at the meeting, to do a dynamics-driven data analysis where we connect the models with the data. And I said that much faster in order to get my joke in. So, and it's vaguely related to the conference. Why do you never see elephants hiding up trees? Why do you never see elephants hiding up trees?
No red sneakers.
Because they're really good at it.
So. Yeah, so I felt that basically with Gaia Idea 2, we were thrown back into the stone age of qualitative comparisons. So this is, of course, then the age of simulations. Luckily, they're good enough to give some ideas what we could compare the data to. But in the fitting and modeling community, we're really at a loss and a crisis. I think the best proof is that the person who, like Eugene, who presented the most advanced modeling machinery couldn't even show a single result. and I fully agree with what Catherine said just now. No, yeah, that as well. That too. But that I think that in the modeling community we really should start doing machine learning that can incorporate physics. I think that's somehow the next step.
So my impression on the whole, it was very positive. I think we're learning about some things in the Milky Way. We understand a few things much better this year than 2 years ago. And I also think that in defense of Eugene, that a lot has been learned from dynamical models recently. And one example is, as you mentioned, the dark halo. There's a paper by Chris Weck that wasn't discussed at this conference. He's first author. He was determining the shape of the dark matter halo out to the edge of the Arlaries for the sausage. And it came out very nearly spherical with non-parametric genes equation models that took into account the angular variations and so on. And the important part was that it also agreed with stream model results, more or less. And so I think we now know that the halo is pretty nearly spherical. Not quite, of course, there's uncertainties, but still. Okay.
Let's see, I have three comments, and I'll order them in importance, and you get to decide which order I'm going in. So the first is, a few of us are going to make margaritas at the residence later, but it's bring your own limes, so bring your own limes. The second is, I realized that, based on Vasily's talk, GD1, the name, appears in the lower left corner of every naming plot that you showed, whether you measure it based on information, relevance to the Big Bang Theory, etc. So I do think we need to rename it. Send me your suggestions. And then the third is something that a few people have touched on, which is, it is less than a year since DR2, Gaia DR2 came out, and look at where we are. So stay curious and stay playful with the data.
I'm afraid this is beginning to sound like a repeat or whatever it is, an old record. It was an astonishing conference. I think that the breadth and the depth of the talks was really, really exciting for me. And I feel my brain is like Ray's picture, all those different ideas crisscrossing, coming together. And I really think I'm going to spend a significant part of the rest of the time I'm here just talking to people and trying to get a coherent picture out of all the ideas that have been discussed. I think it was a great meeting.
Yeah, I agree. It was just a brilliant meeting, but kind of intense, so my brain's been perturbed so much like I've got a phase spiral in there. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to come and give a talk. I was really freaked out about coming, actually, because there's so many heroes of mine here. Galactic heroes. But now I know that they're not heroes anymore. I just want to say I'm fully converted now to the sausage and the sequoia rather than Gaia Enceladus. I think I agree, it's kind of a mishmash. That was my main thing this week, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like people have, you know, said all my ideas by now, but again, what a fantastic series of talks for this week. I feel like they're all very highly complementary in general, not much repetition, and helped to build up a complete picture. I've definitely learned a lot, and I've definitely unlearned things that I thought I knew at the beginning of the week, which is good as well. And I was just going to try and say, I think the talk that stands out best in my mind for the week has got to be Eugene's, because it just happened. I suppose, yeah.
I'm Julia. So, you didn't know me. So I work on stellar clouds, which are diffuse, and many people even question they exist. For example, in the case of the Hercules Aquila cloud, people took years to be convinced it exists, and Virgo of density, which is also diffuse. So it's not, there are structures which are not obvious on the sky, so I was really jealous and impressed to see all these stellar streams, how they are so beautiful and clear with the Gaia proper motion selections on the sky, and see the models on top of them spot on. And it was really beautiful. And I liked all the work on the Orphan stream and GD1, and I'm looking forward to see where the perturb is for GD1. That would be cool.
So first of all, I want to thank again the organizer of this conference, because it was really an amazing conference. All the talks were really interesting, as well as the discussions, and I really learned a lot in this week. So in particular, I think it's really amazing how much we are learning about the accretion history of the Milky Way, with all the discoveries that predicts from accretion events. And I think that maybe it's time to do the next step and try to find a way to estimate robustly the details of these events, like the time of them fall, the mass of these events. Also, another taking home message that I have is how easy it is to perturb the stellar disk of the Milky Way with both external and internal mechanism. I look forward to see if it will be possible to disentangle these different mechanisms to learn what is happening in the Milky Way.
So one of the things that really stood out for me this week was specifically from Catherine's talk and from Eugenia's talk, were that even if you're not sure if your results are going to even show up in one case or be useful in another, they were still pursuing their work because they thought it was interesting and might in the end hopefully come up with something useful, but mostly that they were interested in what they were doing. And that really came across in their talks. And I think that's something that's important for everyone to keep in mind, is just because you might not think it's going to go somewhere, if you're interested in it, you should still probably pursue it.
I'm really enjoying the whole conference, all the talks, and especially the discussions after the talk is really helpful and very informative. The interesting part is that, for example, all the snails come together in this conference, talking to each other, and, well, communication is really, really important to understand that so complicated galaxy, as Joe has pointed out. And Jerry has already said that this is all increases. I think it may not be increases if we just communicate with each other completely and collaborate later on. And I think in the time with large data area, communication and collaboration will be very important between the data analysis and theorist. Thanks.
I have been migrated through different fields before I go to the Milky Way Society. And I really feel it's a more open and democratic community compared to the other community I stayed. I just want to raise one point which hadn't been discussed extensively. I truly believe we can learn more about galaxy formation in general from the stellar halo. For example, the first galaxy and the first stars. So in order to move in that direction, I hope there will be more spectroscopy surveys. I'm super happy to know more about the S5 survey. And I'm also glad to hear the talk about actual galactic stuff from Jessica today. What I want to say, like, imagine we are in another galaxy. The Milky Way probably will be categorized as a polar ring galaxy because we have the Sagittarius ring.
I'm going to take Vasily's suggestion halfway to heart and tell half a joke and encourage him to finish it when he gets the mic. What did a sausage say to Sequoia?
Okay. As Monica has mentioned, the snail recently moves really fast, but I hope you are convinced that it is on a colder track. And so our draft will be on archive next week. Your comments, suggestions are very welcome. Thank you.
I learned a lot from this exciting conference and a lot to digest in the next few weeks. I'm sure, like me, you have a lot of questions. And to follow up these questions, just to let you know, there will be an international conference, IEU Symposium, happening in Shanghai in 3 months. And this is, as I said, it's an IEU Symposium dedicated to the 70-year birthday of my advisor, Jerry Selwood. And so you should come. And you probably have noticed that there is a widening gap between galactic science and extragalactic science, although they're both studying galaxies. So you should all come out and tell the extragalactic community that the Milky Way, how special or how typical the Milky Way is.
Thanks for all the talks. I mostly feel overloaded and will have, I will probably spend weeks to months to digest what went on. And thanks to the organizers.
My feet are so sore. I've been walking here for about 3 months, and my girlfriend says I lost weight, but I don't believe her. But on a more important note, thank you very much, Heidi, for bringing me here and giving me shelter. I wasn't, when you first told me, hey, I want you to go to Santa Barbara, I was very, very nervous about going. I'm still nervous, but I'm glad I was able to like gain new insight from everyone here, and it kind of revitalized a spark that I didn't know I had, so thank you very much.
So rather than try to say anything about the scientific takeaway from this meeting, because I would not stay within my minute, I had sort of two more sociological observations. One is the thing that a lot of people have touched on, which is like the high quality of the talks and the discussion at this session. And I really think a big part of that is the willingness of the speakers to be clear about what they think is the real conclusions from their work, what assumptions they made, what caveats they think, rather than trying to oversell things. I think that was something that contributed a lot to the quality of the discussion we had after each talk, which was also really high in this meeting. So I really appreciate that. The other is, yeah, and I wonder sometimes, I'm going to suggest that maybe that's because the sheer amount of new information in Gaia has kind of humbled us so far. So the other thing that struck me about this meeting was the sheer amount of spectroscopic follow-up that people are doing to try to catch up with Gaia's proper motion sample and get a sort of six-dimensional view of the galaxy. And I'd like to encourage people to think about how we can unify that data the way that Gaia has unified the proper motion picture.
Well, first of all, my deep appreciation, I think it was one of the most exciting meetings that I've ever been to. Given the amount of new stuff, et cetera. Just one point to Joss. I think I really have your theory of the field being rejuvenated is correct. Just like in good old times of human mankind, we show again an almost morbid fascination with gods and food items. But yeah, I mean, we also see how young is and how much it revives us in that basically almost no one talked about stellar metallicities. I mean, very few talks. Basically, nobody talked about gas, etc. And that shows how much we are actually kept up with just exploring the simplest features in the data. So we'll have decades to come on this.
So just to echo, I think, some of the things that other people have been saying, we're really fortunate in this field to be flooded with data. And I think it might be just unprecedented that something as spectacular as Gaia is being made public, essentially with no proprietary time. And I think that sets the tone for the whole field. And it also means that for as a theorist, we're just struggling to keep up with the amount of data, and you know, maybe we've dissected the snail enough now, and we have to go back and think about the theory, but that's a great position to be in, and I think one that doesn't exist in many other fields. So it's just a great field to be in at this time, certainly.
So I came into this meeting not understanding the phase space spiral at all. And after 2 days of talks about it, I began to gain an appreciation of it. I am starting to, it's starting to make at least a little bit of sense, but I'm definitely not all the way there yet. Yesterday, I was very interested to see Adrian and Anna's results on GD1. I would like to understand more about what it is in the data that pushes the Monte Carlo fits towards small scale radii and small impact parameters. But then today, raised simulations made me very frightened about trying to interpret gaps in streams as the results of a single perturber. Finally, I think it was very unfair of Vasily to give us an entire talk today about sausages and meatballs on a day that we don't have a conference dinner immediately after this.
I really enjoy this conference. And the one thing I found is that, so it is a really nice opportunity to revisit some of the classical paper, for example, written in the 60s and 70s, because we have a lot of data to test it and verify it, and maybe we can a little bit have many modification for that. And the other thing is that, for example, when the SDSS data was available, and that was there are many discoveries, like for example, in 2007, the Nature paper said there is a dual halo. But now, with the discovery of Sequoia, maybe we can revisit that kind of things. So yeah, so I really enjoy that. But it is a nice opportunity to revisit some of the earlier studies. That is what I thought.
Yeah, so a great meeting, Heidi. Many thanks for doing the organizing. So my take home is, if we're interested in the kinematics and the chemistry of stars around the sun, and how that can tell us about the chemical evolution of the disk and the mass buildup, and how it comes to look like it does, I started off being very happy. We had Ortwin's talk saying how much we know about the bar. We can now stop worrying maybe, or close to a period, we can stop worrying about what the pattern speed is and we can try and model this. So that was very good. And then Chervin came along and told us how well we can do if we model Sagittarius and how that impacts everything. So I was very happy, but then Jason spoiled it by giving his talk about how spirals mess everything up and how hard it is to understand what the spirals are doing, given the fact that we don't have many constraints at the minute the constraints we have at the minute are not useful. And so I think it's important going forward. I'd be very interested to see how this develops.
A postman delivers a parcel to a house. And he rings the bell, and a little boy opens the door with a bottle of whiskey and a cigar. And the postman looks at him and says, kid, are your parents home? And the boy takes a puff of the cigar and then answers, what do you think? And so now let me translate what I meant. So the little boy is obviously Eugene, and the postman, it's all of us. And the question we're asking, should we be worried about disequilibrium? And I think he gave us a very resounding answer. And to finish Andrew's joke, I'm your father.
I think like around this conference, I was saying that I don't want to work on Sagittarius again. Anna basically ruined it for me, so I kind of want to get back into it with Justin and Adrian. So I kind of really like this conference because it kind of like motivated me to explore other new avenues. And also one thing that I just want to say is that when I started out, you know, a lot of people were telling me, you know, the disk ends at like 20 kPc, you know, you're wasting your time. And this is exactly what we should do as young scientists. When somebody tells you you're wasting your time, just keep on doing what you're doing, because then Deepak comes along and then basically shows that everything you did actually was worth it. So yeah.
Even before Gaia, it was clear that you had a lot more data than any theory could digest. And of course, now we have an avalanche of data and we are still more or less in the same place with the theory. People are making efforts, trying to understand the theoretical foundation behind the snail or the accretion stuff, whatever. But it's so much easier to get something new and exciting when you're going into the data. And even I, as a pure theorist, did not escape the temptation of doing that. And I'm partially responsible for the failure of the theory, of course. So I think it's clear that we need something that is interpretable, and it's not easy to understand whether we can actually get that. For example, when we are modeling the potential of the galaxy or based on the streams, whether we have to worry about the triaxiality or the Magellanic Cloud passing by or something else, or everything at the same time, can we single out a single factor that is the most important or not? That is still muddled water for me.
So some people don't like the word sausage.
And we've been criticized as being barbarians and Bulgarians for introducing it. But in fact, there's a real justification for using the word, because it gets to the heart of science, curiosity-driven science. Why does that distribution look like a sausage? And I think it's important to try and communicate to the general public how science is really done. We're not all speaking classical ancient Greek, and we're not looking at books of ancient mythology. It's curiosity-driven science that is celebrated by the word sausage.
Actually, I have one more from Julie Dumas, who left the what she wanted to say, even though she wasn't going to be here today. It says, thanks to Professor Newberg and Lars Bilson for allowing me to register late and attend. After I attended the Seattle Gaia test sprint, I came up with a lot of questions that were all answered at the KITP conference. One was whether the Sagittarius stream could be more easily modeled now that there's more data that traces the tidal tails. The answer is probably not, because there are more factors to consider now. So that's the end of the 1 minute talks and the end of the conference. So thanks for everybody.